This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to this Thursday edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals podcast. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, in studio. Surprising. I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm going to fall over when I look to my right and I see the one, the only, Steve Flowers. What's going on?
Surprising. Like we do, what, 104 shows a year, something like that?
Wait a minute.
Shows a
time
year.
Out. Hang on. Stop. Let me welcome in on the m4byyachty.com hotline so that I'm not alone on this, the one, the only, Benji Molina. Benji, how are you, sir?
What's going on, guys? We got Steve-O in the studio, huh?
See, I'm not the only one.
Oh, come on.
He makes it sound like he's here all the time, Benji.
Listen.
And I'm not alone in this, right?
BMO.
No. We love Steve-O, man. Hey, anytime you can make it, man. Come on, man.
100 shows a year.
Don't worry.
We do 100 shows a year. The Cowboys lost. Like, what was their record? They were like 12-4. What were they? 10-9-7?
Oh,
so I missed 7 Mondays.
Whatever.
And then, like, the last couple of weeks. So, I'm always here.
The Eagles win. That got to hurt even worse.
Oh, it's killing me. It's tearing me up.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm excited about the show today. Going to go a little backwards. Typically, we talk a little Cardinal baseball, and then we go to our new and very popular segment on Thursdays, Mo's Algorithm, where bow ties and sweaters, where analytics meet the eyes test. We're going to do that first today because we're running a little behind on the show, and our friend Mo's only has a very limited window that he can help us. So we're going to do that first. Before we do, though, I want to remind everybody to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. The show Two Birds on a Bat is brought to you by our good friends from the Innovated Companies. InnovatedCompanies.com, of course, Randy and Stephanie Green, friends of the show. 35 years of experience, second-generation craftsman, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. And let me tell you what he's really bonded by, and that's his word. He's a man of his word, and if he's doing something for you, you can trust that it's going to get done. It's going to get done right the way he said it would get done. They've made it never easier than before. Innovated Construction, Innovated Heating and Cooling, Innovated Electric, all three arms under one umbrella, the Innovated Companies team. InnovatedCompanies.com, residential, commercial, or industrial. Check them out. Again, you won't go wrong if you trust in Randy and Stephanie Green. Want to remind everybody that the twobirdsonabat.com website is where you can subscribe to the show absolutely free. Amazon shopping on there would help us with production costs. You simply click the Amazon banner. You're done with us. You do your shopping. Boom. Doesn't cost you anything. We get a very small referral. Our hope is that the many, many people that listen to the show that do their shopping will do that. And it could add up to helping us just a little bit with production costs. When subscribing to the show, you'll get a notification on your mobile device. It's very easy to do, 30 seconds. It's, again, like I said, free. It'll let you know that the new show has been released. Our big ask of you is to find us on social media. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. Follow us on Twitter. If you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back. If for some reason you follow us and we missed you, just send us a DM like, hey, guys, I'm a Cardinal fan. I followed you. You guys want to follow me back? Because we want to get involved in the conversations that you want to have as Cardinal fans. So the big ask, though, is Facebook. That's the big one for us. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page, then click on Invite Your Friends and invite all your friends that are Cardinal fans. We'd love to have them part of the conversation. You can also find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat, like our Instagram page. Well, we enjoy that as well. And, of course, lineupmedia.fm makes the show possible. fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Make sure you check out Yo Radio now, the latest offering from our friends at lineupmedia.fm. They're going to have a baseball dedicated channel. We're happy to be a part of that as well. And of course, our producers, Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen, do all the hard work behind the scenes. All right, now let's get to it. Let's not wait any longer. Let's welcome in the man himself, Mo's Algorithm. How are you, sir?
Good, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Your segment, sir, has certainly made us popular with that analytics crowd. We take a beating sometimes because we like to ignore analytics whenever our eyes tell us something that is contrary. But trying to get a little smarter with it, I think you can ignore things if you want. I choose not to ignore them. I also choose to be realistic about some of the numbers, and it's just not all numbers, and I get frustrated with people that want to make it all about numbers. So that's the frustration on that end. But the reality of it is, we've had some great conversations with you, and the fans are loving our segment. And again, we do it every Thursday. It's Mo's Algorithm, Bow Ties and Sweaters, where analytics meet the eye test. My challenge to you today, and you know, my friend Steve Flowers, Benji Molina, we have talked long and hard about the construction of this team and what else we could use. Spring training is right around the corner, yet we have over 100 free agents available. Some of them I would term to be big names that come with, to some degree, some question marks. Like, I think you can always throw up question marks about everybody. The names I'm going to throw at you, though, that we've talked about a little bit ad nauseum on the show are players that we think in one way or another could really help the Cardinals. Now, that being said, the Cardinals, if you are to believe them, basically are saying, we don't think that the money – what they're basically saying is they're not sure that the money and the time commitment is much better than what they have. I don't know that they're coming out and saying – we don't think these guys are any good, but for the amount of money and the time commitment, we have some guys that we trust that are already on the roster, which may or may not be true. I never believe these guys. Let's just throw that out there. That being said, my opinion, so we're going to go with my opinion today, and that is this. There are two names that I want to know that if either one of them, or God forbid, both of them, were to wind up on the Cardinals roster, I want to know what you think the team looks like with them on it. And Benji and I, Steve and I, we've talked about, and these are the names that we've talked about that we think make us a better team. And you'll have to tell me if I'm right or wrong. We can take into account later if it hurts us down the road because of the contract. We can talk about that. But the two names I'm going to throw at you today are Jake Arrieta and Greg Holland. If you gave me Jake Arrieta and Greg Holland right now, I really like our chances. So you tell me, you start with whatever one you – and hang on, before I do this, Steve-O, would you take those two guys or even one of the two?
Absolutely.
Benji, would you take both of them or at least one of the two?
Well, at least one of them, I would say.
Okay. So, Mo's, let's start with you. You tell us how this team looks and how you think one of them – or they're both obviously different pitchers – how they affect this lineup or roster.
Well, first of all, I think with Arrieta, if you take him first, I don't know what you do with the five guys you have inked in. I wouldn't even say pencil, because they're pretty well inked into the rotation. So you, one of those would have to go. I don't know where you start there. And then the other one with Greg Holland, you know, Mike Matheny is going to go with the eight-man bullpen. There's seven guys inked in right now. You got Lyons, Brebbia, Cecil, Bowman, Tui, Gregerson, and Leon. So there is a spot in the bullpen for a guy like Holland. The problem with that is by May 1st, Alex Reyes will be ready to go, and what do you do with him without a roster spot? So I think there's, yes, those two players would improve the team. I think we could say that about a lot of players. The problem you run into is roster crunch and what you're going to do with the roster spots you have available. And there's just not a lot of room. If you sign Arrieta, you got to move one starter to the bullpen. That puts you at eight in the bullpen, so you can't sign Holland. So if you sign Holland, you know, you can fill up that eighth spot in the bullpen with Holland, but then where is Reyes going to fit in May 1st when he's ready to go, whether it be a starter or a reliever, because all 13 pitcher spots are taken up. So I think, yeah, they would help, but unless you're trading one of these guys or releasing them or sending them to Memphis, I don't know how these guys fit, and that's why I believe Mo and Mike Gersh when they say that, you know, they're done. because it seems like they're done. If you really construct the roster and really take a look at it, they're done.
Well, you know, I look at the reports that come out, and I've said all along, and I could be completely wrong, and Benji and I have talked about the player and what it means to it, and Steve-O, you know, same way. I guess my thing is that, you know, the way the market has shaped up, it looks like, and again, I could, you know, who knows for sure, but if some of these guys wind up do sign it, you would have to believe it's probably at a quote-unquote bargain rate compared. Now, bargain rate is a descriptive term, because what is a bargain rate? Well, a bargain rate for what they were asking, I promise you. So I saw a report yesterday that somebody has, you know, and again, these are predictions, right? And these guys are supposedly know what they're talking about, but somebody said yesterday, and it might have been Bob Nightingale, who I don't know how often he's very right, but he said, listen, I could see Greg Holland winding up with the Cardinals 2 years, $25 million. Now, I'm telling you this as I sit here today. If the Cardinals could get Greg Holland for 2 years for $25 million and don't do it, that's a real problem if they don't do that. For me, it is, because it's a two-year commitment. They've got the money, and $12.5 million a year for a closer, especially a guy that had 40-some saves, right? I'm sorry. Yeah. And again, if it blew up in their face, it's only 2 years, and they have money, and they can shore up an area of need, in our opinion, being the bullpen. Whether you believe that they can be better or not is kind of irrelevant. This is a guy that I think can help them. So, you know, I guess what you're kind of saying is there's no way both of them are going to happen, just from a sheer number standpoint. So that being said, who do you think – now, here, let's get the opinion of the room first, and then I'm going to go to you. So let's start with Benji. So, Benji, Mose makes a lot of sense in the fact that the roster would dictate there's probably no way we're going to sign two of them. And, again, going from Moe and Gersh saying we're done and DeWitt to signing two guys that are in that list, probably not going to happen anyway, being realistic. But if they were to sign one, let's say one of them could sign here. For you, would it be Greg Holland over Jake Arrieta?
I think so. I think it makes more sense, like Mo was saying, it makes more sense in the bullpen than in the starting, because I think they're starting our set right now. I mean, they like what they have, and that's it. The only thing I would say is, if one pitcher in the starting rotation, like Yu Darvish, which I don't trust so much, or Arrieta, which is a workhorse, and he's shown the last few years, maybe he had a off year last year a little bit, but he's shown he can pitch. So with that guy in our starting, and what talking to what Mo said about moving a guy and it doesn't add up, well, that's what you got to do. The man, and now it's Nicholas, Wainwright, or Flaherty. So you don't trade him. You just keep him in there, but another role or something, and then Flaherty will go to AAA and see how these Arrieta kids pitch and things like that. But if I had a chance to get Arrieta in my starting rotation with these guys that I have now, that 1-2 punch right there puts me straight into a playoff, and who knows after that, man. I really do believe it. Are they going to do it? Maybe not. So, but talking about the Arrieta and Holland, I mean, they both could make a big, huge impact in our Cardinals this year if we get one of them.
Steve-O, for you, would it be Arrieta or Holland?
I like starting pitching depth. I mean, how many times you go into a season with five starters, you end up with the same five? I mean, and I don't care if you got Reyes coming back late April, early May, June, whatever it is. The fact of the matter is somebody's going to get hurt. Guarantee it. If you can place that money bet out in Vegas, do it now, because it's 100% guaranteed. Somebody's going to get hurt, so you need depth, okay? And I get you got some young pitching down there in the minors that you can always plug in. But I like starting pitching depth, but I also can see that we need the relief help. So either way, I would want one of them, and we can work out the issues from there. If there's a bullpen issue that has, if somebody has to go down, hey, that's what they get paid to do there at the Cardinals front office. They get paid to make that decision, okay? As a fan, I want options.
Well, okay, so here's what I'll say. I think, again, what the hell do I know? I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in the room for sure, but I will say this. If you look at the St. Louis
Cardinals. There's only two of us in the room.
Well, maybe I am the smartest then. So The truth is this. If you look at what the Cardinals have, you can't just look at the big league club because, to your point, somebody is going to get hurt or somebody's not going to be very good. Usually is the case, right? More than it's not. I mean, we can all agree there. That being said, what the Cardinals do have is some really good young pitching that they're really high on. Okay, it would not surprise me this year if you can write this down, and I could be completely wrong, but it wouldn't surprise me this year if we saw a start at some juncture from the following: Jack Flaherty, Dakota Hudson, and Austin Gumber. Wouldn't surprise me if all three of those guys at one time or another started a game for the St. Louis Cardinals this year. Would not surprise me. That being said, I have to say this. We've talked about it at nauseam, Benji. What was the biggest problem on this team last year? People want to look at the offense and all that. The offense was not the problem. It was the bullpen. No. It was the bullpen. So that's how in the world could you not want Greg Holland?
That's why I was surprised, Jimbo. I mean, seriously, think about it. I was surprised that they didn't address it the right way. I mean, they believe in these guys. And remember, this is what I've been saying all along. The only thing that's going to hurt us from getting somebody is if these guys right now believe that the guys they have could do the job. And I said it all along. If these guys believe that what we have can is the answer, that's what's going to be, man. I mean, there's no secret to it. And it looks like they believe. I don't think they're going to go and get anybody. Like Mo said, I really don't believe they're going to get anybody. I really believe they're really happy with what they have, and that's what they're going to go for. You know what I mean?
Well, again, I just can't – again, if the – how do I say this? The bottom line is this. If the bullpen fails again this year after what they did this offseason, I don't know how they live with that. Mose, so let's look at this now. What do you think, let's from the analytical standpoint, what does Greg Holland do to the bullpen the way it is now? And you mentioned, now hang on, I want to go back to something you said. You talked about the roster spots in the bullpen. Or if this thing worked out with Ray, the bullpen's the same way. Not every guy winds up performing there either. Who are the guys in the bullpen that you mentioned that have options? Brebbia has options, does he not?
Yes, he would be probably the only one that you could send down. That he would be on the bubble. The rest of them are pretty much locked in.
Because Tui's out, right, of options. Is that right?
Tui's out. You'd have to put him on waivers and he would be gone.
Yeah, so and I'm looking forward to seeing what Tui can do. Tui is the one guy down there that has been groomed to be a closer. And I've said since day one, if they're going to go that route, I'd rather him just put Tui in there and find out if he can do it. I would rather that happen than mess around with some of this other stuff. But again, I'm not the smartest guy down at Busch Stadium. I promise you that. So you tell me what Holland does to this bullpen in your opinion, then.
He would provide more depth. He would certainly answer the closer role like we talked about last week for at least this year. And probably next year, it would be that third year, you know, that we'd start to have questions. So he would really solidify the bullpen in ways that we know. But the problem is I just think he blocks a lot of guys that they want to use. You know, you got Ryan Helsley that they're high on, and if he has a good camp, he could break camp as that eighth man out of the bullpen. So I just
and that
as much as he probably would help. I don't see how they want to.
So let me ask you this. I heard Benji just say that. So here's my question to you. If you look at this thing, and Dominic Leon, what do we know about him? Because I saw some reports. You know, people that, and I think I mentioned this on a show, Benji just brought up Dominic Leon, the guy that we traded for from Toronto. So my question is this. I've saw reports that if Osuna, who is he's a good closer, but he's had some, I believe, mental issues when it comes to closing. He may have had some physical issues as well. But Leon is the guy they were looking at getting those opportunities. So is Leon a possible closing candidate?
I think Leon should be the closer. I think he probably will be. It's going to depend on spring training performance, but I think Leon's better than Gregerson, and, you know, I know that Mo and Gersh are high on Gregerson because they have different analytical views on him, and that's fine. You know, whatever. I'm not going to argue that. But pound for pound, Leon's better. So if Leon performs in spring training better than Gregerson, I think Matheny tabs him as the closer. So I'm excited about Leon.
Benji, you like Dominic Leon a lot. What is it you like about him?
Well, I think the way he his presence on the mound, the year he had, I mean, I haven't watched much about him. The only thing I've seen is what people have said, like Yadi likes him, and that alone right there, get the heck out of here. Yadi likes him. I know he's watched some video. I know he's paid attention. I know they probably call him and say, hey, listen, we got this kid right here. What do you think? What are your opinion on him? And so if he likes him, I'm all in with him, man. I really am. This kid could, like Mo said, this kid could be the closer. And remember, we're going to get Reyes, which I wish that they put him into a reliever role, and that bullpen will be set depending on how they pitch in the spring, of course. If those guys don't show what they have, then it's a different story. But that could be another way. I mean, Greg Holland's sign will be kind of questionable because he just came from Tommy John. He had a good year. He turned down $53 million for 3 years. What are you going to get over here? The Cardinals are not going to pay $60 million. They're not. So, I mean, it just tells you that the Holland is just a name guy out there that solidified our bullpen. But if we don't have him, these young guys will have to step up, man. And who knows, man? Who knows? We were all young in 2002 in the bullpen. The only guy we had as a veteran was Dennis Cook, which he got hurt, never pitched after the half. And then we had in the bullpen Troy Percival as a closer. But all the other guys were really, really young, 1 or 2 years in the big leagues, and that's it. So it could be done. It really could be done with the guys we have. So we just have to wait and see. If I could have Arrieta in my team for 2 years, 3 years, lock him up for 3 years, I mean, we have a chance to win a World Series in 3 years. I'll tell you that.
So it sounds like Benji would rather go with Arrieta and leave the bullpen and rely on some of these other guys. So, Moz, I know our time's limited with you. I'm going to leave you then. It sounds like Leon is the surprise guy in this whole thing. What is it for you before you go about Leon? You say that you definitely think he's better than Gregerson. You think he should be the closer. Is there anything in particular that you see in the numbers that lead you to believe that? I know what I see from the eye test, and last year, like watching the video of him, and that's really what are you going to get to see without that, right? He's got a nasty slider. I mean, it's nasty.
Yeah, then that's it right there. He's got the knockout pitch that Gregerson doesn't have, and that's what you need as a closer. You know, you got to have a changeup. You got to have something that is a dominant pitch that gets guys out, and Gregerson just doesn't have that yet or anymore. You know, and I'm not down on Gregerson. I think he's going to be fine, and you know, he'll serve as a decent arm in the bullpen. But Leon's special, and he has a special pitch that he can use to get out of jams and to get out of ninth innings. And I hope they see that. I hope they don't just give it to Gregerson because he's the veteran and he's done it sometimes before. So Leon's got better last year anyway. Obviously, Leon had better numbers across the board, everything. So hopefully they see that and he performs well in spring training, so that way he kind of pushes their hand. Otherwise, I'm sure we're going to see Gregerson until at least Reyes gets back and they can make a decision from there.
Sounds to me like if I'm hearing you right, you think this Randall Grichuk trade for Leon is going to wind up being an under-the-radar move that's going to equate to a lot of success for the Cardinals.
I compare it to the Colby Rasmus deal. They gave up a middling, disgruntled outfielder for really solid bullpen arms, and I think that's what they did again here. You know, they gave up Grichuk, who he wouldn't have been happy as the fourth outfielder. He basically said that when he left anyway. So, and they got a much better pitcher in return. So hopefully in the future we look back on this and say, yeah, it reminds me a lot of the Colby Rasmus deal, and ironically it was with the same team.
Well, that's awesome stuff, man. Happy to have you on. And again, the segment's become very popular. It is Bow Ties and Sweaters with Mo's Algorithm, where analytics meet the eye test. I know our fans enjoy it. You've got a couple of social media sites they can follow you, and you always send out stuff. You want to share those with our listeners before you go?
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter at Moz Algorithm, M-O-Z Algorithm. I'm on both those. So well, give me a follow.
It's great stuff. I know people love to hear from you. They take very seriously when you come on and talk about the analytics. I appreciate the fact that, you know, you kind of subscribe to that theory of it's not all numbers, but boy, they sure help. So I appreciate you. I know the guys do as well, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Jim. See you guys.
All right, that was Moz Algorithm. Again, I enjoy it, and it kind of tied in with our sponsors. You know, he's talking about the construction part of this bullpen when you look at the way he kind of laid it out. And obviously we're talking about the Innovative Construction Team under the InnovativeCompanies.com umbrella. Residential, commercial, industrial, anything you need, make sure you give the Innovative Construction Team an opportunity for your business. Randy Green, second generation craftsman, 35 years experience, fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Check him out at InnovativeCompanies.com. So, Benji, you look at that bullpen, and so here's an interesting question for you. He mentioned spring training. Now, we've heard Mo say that if the season opened today, Gregerson would be our closer. I'm of the belief that because of the way the offseason shook out, that I don't know that they know for sure who the closer is going to be yet. Now, again, this is my little theory based on whatever, but, man, I got to tell you, I'm of the belief that a closer will emerge from spring training. You've been to, obviously how many spring trainings. Is the competition level real for that, in your opinion, or do you think they already in their mind are going to go with this because of the veteran situation and all that?
No, Jimbo. I think they're going to see what they have. I don't think anybody's pencil as a closer. I honestly don't think so, especially when we're talking about Luke Gregerson. You know, it's not we're not talking about a setup closer, a name closer. So I'm not dugging the guy. I'm just saying, like, he's not a closer. You know, he's closed before by committee, but so I don't believe they're going to pencil anybody as a closer. They're just going to go with the flow and hope for a few games. They have an idea who can't do it and who can't, and they go from there. I think the spring training is going to play a big part, a big, big part into a starting rotation, but also into the relievers, who's going to make the team and who's going to be where and all that. They got to wait until the whole spring training.
Fans are going to listen to this. I'm the same way. I'm a fan too. Guys, he had one good year, and now you're telling me he's going to be our closer. I mean, stranger things have happened. And the reality of it is, and I've said this on the show before, Steve, you can jump in here. I mean, we saw it in the 80s. And we've seen it as early as just a few years ago with a guy like Salas or a guy like Jason Mott. Somebody's going to be the closer. I mean, somebody's going to do it, and somebody's going to rack up some saves. I guess at the end of the day, the reality of it is we're trying to limit the number of blown saves. And, Benji, you've highlighted it numerous times. We lost X amount of games after the sixth or seventh inning with a lead last year. I don't know the exact number on the ninth inning where we blew it, but it was – it obviously is not as many as the sixth, seventh, and eighth and on, but, the ninth inning, there was a few of those too. And, you're trying to limit those. So, I know we're talking about a guy that had 1 year of experience, but, to me, there is something to be said for go in and earn the job in spring training. And, again, I've said it. I like what I saw of Leon. I know it's only been 1 year. There's all kinds of guys, though, that have one good year and then become closers or become solid bullpen guys. Everybody's got to start somewhere. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. That's why I've advocated for a guy that's done it before. But if it doesn't happen, I can't do anything about it. That being said, too, I'm going to say this again. Tui is the one guy that's been groomed to do this. I'd like to see him get a chance, and I think he will get a chance in spring training to show that he can dominate innings, and I think that's what they're going to look for.
Yeah, you're right.
And Steve-O, you go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's, I don't know if they have anybody necessarily slotted in that this is our guy no matter what. And we see it every year almost with every ball club that somebody comes out of spring training that you're surprised about. Okay, whether it's, like I said, it's every year. Millions of examples, right? So could it be Tui? Absolutely. Could it be your boy Hensley that you want? It could be anybody, really. So I think they have an idea, but I don't think anything's set in stone.
I tell you what, man, I really like the idea that not having a closer. I like the idea of having it by committee. You know, whatever I need that day, I might need it closer to that left hander. You know, I might need it closer to that because two lefties are coming into the lineup in the ninth inning. So guess what, Tyler Lyons, you're my closer today, buddy. So, and I like the idea of keeping it open. If you put that pressure on that kid, let's say to Tui, right? You say to Tui, hey, Tui, you're my closer this year, and you pencil him. I think we discussed this before. If you pencil the guy and all of a sudden it doesn't work out, it hurts the crap out of the guy, man. His confidence is going to go away. I mean, it hurts in his heart that he couldn't do the job as a closer. But if you don't pencil the guy and if you don't put him as a closer and he messed up and had a little bump here and there, he doesn't lose the confidence because he's not the closer. He is not named the closer. That's what I like about this situation with the Cardinals. I hope they take advantage of it. I hope Mike is excited about that. I hope he doesn't name anybody as a closer. I hope he goes and say, you know what, Leone, you got it today. Let's go. Let's see what you got. And Tui, you got it today. You got the nine, buddy. And then Lyons, you got the nine. You know, I hope he does that because he keeps everybody's confidence up. If you name a guy and that guy doesn't do the job, man, especially young guys, with the pressure there is already in the Cardinals organization and the fans to win it, that could be a really painful, really painful thing for those young guys to handle, man.
Well, how do you answer the question to all the fans then that say you got to have a defined role in the bullpen? That's our problem. We don't have defined roles in our bullpen. How do you answer that question then?
That's just the fans. That's just the fans. Somebody told them you have to have a defined closer. If you do, Jimbo and Steve-O, if you do have one, I mean, it's great. I'm not saying it's not. If you have one, do we have one? No. That's what I'm trying to say. We do not have one. You don't want to set a guy and say, Gregerson, for example, he's a veteran. Okay, Gregerson is our closer. We're going to go with him. Now he reads that he's the closer. All of a sudden, first 2 weeks goes to crap. And then what? You're going to keep with him? I don't think so. Tui's going to come in, and then Gregerson's confidence is going to go down to freaking nothing. It's going to happen like what? Oh, didn't even pitch for almost, it felt like a whole full month that he never even touched the ball. And that's what you don't want. You don't want to have a closer. If I'm the manager, I wish I get a team that I don't have a closer. And I have all these kind of arms I can manage, and I could say, okay, you this time, you that time. But if I have one like Jensen, it makes a lot of things easier. But we don't have that. You know what I'm saying? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to find what works.
You don't know what's going to work.
That's my point.
You can look a couple years ago to the Royals who rolled out 7, 8, and 9 every game, no matter what the situation was. Here comes 7th inning, here comes 8th inning, here comes 9th inning. They had very defined roles, and it seems like that seems to be the trend amongst teams. I don't know what we have. Only time's going to tell.
Yeah, because they had it, guys.
Right.
They had it. Do we have a setup guy? Do we have an 8th inning guy? Do we have a 7th inning guy? No, we don't. We just got guys that got good arms, and here we go from the get-go. In spring training, okay, let's try all these guys and see what happens. We don't have a closer. We don't have an 8th inning guy. So for me, as a manager, it's a dream because you don't have to pencil a guy in there. You know what I'm saying? I'll take advantage of my lefties. I'll take advantage of my righties. Whenever the heck I want to put them in, if I want to use Brevia in the 6th, put Brevia in the 6th. And then the next day you need him in the 8th. Then you have him in the 8th. Then you do like that. But if you have a pencil, you have a guy named like Jensen or these guys, Holland or whoever, I mean, it makes the job easier. But we don't have that. From what we have, it's better off. Even if Reyes come back and he throws the same way he's been throwing, he could be a guy in the closer, but I would not name him a closer. I would say, hey, man, you got the 9th. Hey, then tomorrow, if he's able to pitch, I'll bring him in the 7 or something. So his confidence is always up because he doesn't have a name on him. Now you put a name on these young guys. And you believe me, I went through that, man. I went through it. When you put the name on them, they all come to you and say, hey, man, God dang it, man, I couldn't do it. I didn't do this. I couldn't close the game. And now they took me out. I'm not a closer anymore, man. I wanted to be there. I mean, I've been there. They told me straight up to my face. So I would not put any name out there and say, this is my closer. I would not do that.
Well, certain managers have been very careful to label closers. Tony La Russa was notorious for it. If it wasn't a veteran, I mean, he would do that. I mean, I've seen Mike take a page out of that before. But, you know, it's just – and, again, I guess maybe I care too much who blames who and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, you do that and it doesn't work, it's going to be the manager's fault. You know, it's going to be the manager's fault if you do that and it doesn't work. It isn't going to be because the guys just can't close the games.
It should be, right?
Yeah.
It should be because the guy get a tight butt and cannot throw three outs in the ninth inning, right? That's what it should be, not the manager. The manager doesn't pitch. We already went through this shows before, man. The manager, you can blame the manager for putting a bad lineup out there, or a manager making a weird change in the bullpen. Yeah, you can manage that, or not calling a hit and run or something. That's the manager. But having the manager say, okay, this is my guy right here, and then Brevia can close, and then manager's fault for putting him in. I mean, that's not manager. That's the guy. The guy couldn't close. What the heck, you know?
Well, again, I'm interested in you know, it's kind of like, and again, it's a great segue into our Innovated Heating and Cooling, another of the arm underneath the innovatedcompanies.com. Make sure you give them an opportunity for anything you need when it comes to heating and cooling, whether it be residential, industrial, or commercial. I got to tell you, it seems like, and this is the uncertainty. I get hot and cold on all kinds of guys, right? Like, I will say that when I listen to Mo's tell me about numbers and things that he sees, it sways me. It does sway me. So, like, you know, he's got me believing that Mikolas may be better than I thought he was when they signed him. He's got me believing that Gregerson can fill a role in this team, maybe just not closer. You know, he's got me believing that Leon's going to be a steal. You know, again, when you hear the things that you want to hear, it gets you excited. When you hear things that you don't want to hear, you want to fight and argue. I'm trying to be open to the analytics of the things that I don't understand versus what I see. And again, I'm never going to get away from the fact that I believe, and nobody's going to convince me, that closing in the ninth inning is different than throwing in the seventh or eighth inning. It just is. And you can show me whatever numbers you want to show me. If that was the case, then just anybody could close. It's not the case. There's been plenty of guys that can't do it. I don't care what you say. I mean, what do we talk about more than anything in this town? We talk about what? Matt Carpenter can't hit anywhere but first. Well, let me tell you something. He's got unbelievable numbers as a leadoff hitter, okay? And you're sitting there telling me in one breath, well, yeah, but he can't do it in the third hole. But yet anybody can just go pitch the ninth? I mean, again, there are things that go on that sometimes you don't have an explanation for, and no numbers in the world are going to help you with it. That being said, I would like to see an all-out competition in spring training and the last man standing. I want the guy that dominated those innings. And again, there's a big difference between getting outs and dominating innings. That's my question really about Tyler Lyons. Tyler Lyons was so good last year. Can a guy like that close? I mean, can you have a guy close that his primary pitch is an 80-something mile an hour curveball?
I don't give a crap how slow you throw. If he gets the three outs in the ninth, man, you're my guy. I don't give a crap if you throw 70 miles an hour fastball. If you get those three outs, buddy, you're in there. How about if he gets 50 safe throwing 70 miles an hour? Who gives a crap? What I was going to tell you, Jimbo and Steve-O, these guys, let's go to the end, you know, like you just said. Let's go to the end of spring, see who wins it. And let me tell you what. Even if the guy wins it, don't say anything because they're not closers. They're not named guys close. Don't put a name on these guys. If you in your head, if you're Mike Mattini and you want to go with Brevia and you're like, okay, Brevia is my guy. That's my guy. Don't say it. Don't say it. Just go with him when you have to. You know what I'm saying? So you don't put the extra pressure on this kid.
You know, it's all fine and dandy till the reporters get him and ask him, hey, what's going on? I mean, then he's going to have to give an answer.
Reporters, fans, everybody. Yeah. Oh, he wanted to go close.
If it was that easy where he didn't have to answer to anybody, in the media, then I think he'd probably do that.
Well, you can go. You can say closer by committee. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, and go with that and drive it. You know, just go with it because that's what it is. I would do it. I mean, I got no shame in that. It's actually helped us.
Yeah.
I can't help it. You know, wish they would have done more this offseason. But again, I don't know if it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks before. I mean, I'm done bitching and complaining about it, to be completely honest with you. I mean, it is what it is. I love the Cardinals. I'm always going to love the Cardinals. I loved them when they were awful before. The reality of it is, I'm going through this with the Blues right now. I love the Blues. You know that, Steve-O, right? I mean, yeah. I do a Blues show. I had to say it on the show today, on the Blues show. I'm not interested in watching any games right now. I have zero interest in watching them right now. And you know why? Because they're boring.
Because they're in a slump?
No, it has nothing to do with being in a slump. I'm okay with a slump. I am not naive enough. I've watched enough sports my whole life. I've been a Blues fan for 40 years, at least. Okay, I'm 48 years old. I mean, I remember watching hockey as a young kid and loving hockey and playing hockey. Okay, just like baseball. You know, just like with every, you know, your parents introduce you to stuff at a young age and as you can start remembering. The bottom line is this. I've lived through plenty of disappointment being a Blues fan, I promise you, just like every Blues fan. They are a boring team to watch. Just like at times the Cardinals were so hard to watch last year that I went through stretches where I didn't want to watch either because it's the same thing every night. I'm just hoping I don't have to live through that again. But I'm a fan just like everybody else, and I'm going to react like a fan. And it's going to get hard. Listen, that's why I wanted them to do more. I've said since day one, if they want to go this route, I'll have to live with it. I don't have a choice. All I've ever said was they had the resources and the money to not have so many question marks. Again, my hope is that they're the smartest guys in the room and look back and say, you know, they would never do this, but look back and say, we told you so.
Right. Well, the fact of the matter is you got 100 guys sitting out there, free agents roughly. You got pitchers and catchers that report in 5 days, right? Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Next Tuesday, something like that. You know, it's going to start getting tight. I mean, I'm just reading a report on here. Lance Lynn's down in Jupiter, right? So he's throwing with his guys. He's getting his work done. So, Benji, what's going through some of these free agents' heads right now? When does it get crunch time for them that they said, I just need to sign a contract?
Let me tell you what, Steve-O, you get really nervous. You get paranoid. You start asking yourself, do they want me? Am I good enough? That's what's going on through your mind. Am I going to be able to sign and play this year? Plus, you didn't make that much money all your career, and all of a sudden you thought this year was going to be your year of making good money. Now what? Now what's going to happen if nobody wants me? What the heck am I going to do? I'm not going to make good money in the next year when I become a free agent if I sign a one-year deal. All those things go through your mind. You start getting so freaking worried, man. Seriously, I was a nutcase, man, when that happened to me. Obviously, these guys probably just making up their minds because they have maybe two teams fighting for them, and they just haven't made a decision yet. But some out there that doesn't have any offers. It's going to be hard for them, man. It's going to crush their heart. It's going to crush their confidence. And like you just said, Lynn probably went up to the free agency thinking, man, I'm going to be paid. I'm going to get a 3-year deal, 4-year deal, and I'm going to get paid, man, because I pitch well. And look at what happened. He's still not signed. So those things go through your head, man, and really, really could hurt you. But let's hope that this week a lot of those guys get signed, like their best chance, you know, like their best contract.
Right.
At least they can come back and sign at least for 1 year if they want and prove themselves again, and they can maybe next year can do that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I want to follow up on Steve's comment about what is going through their heads right now because, you know, there's reports coming out of all these things that are going on because I mean, I don't want. I hate to use the word unprecedented when I'm not educated enough on the subject, but
and you can't spell that word.
Well, no, I can't. I can't spell it, and I'm not 100% sure it applies. But or not. Not. I know that it applies if it's accurate, and that's what I don't know is if I'm accurate. But I know I can't remember there being 100-something free agents at this stage of the game in the past. I mean, I would guess maybe it's happened. I don't know, but I'm going to call it unprecedented because I don't ever remember it happening. Please correct me, somebody out there, if I'm wrong. Especially with the types of names. So you're starting, and the reason I think it's unprecedented is because now you're seeing drastic things I've never seen. You're seeing that supposedly they're going to put together a spring training for guys that aren't signed. Well, no surprise to me, it came out today that they are going to go through with this, and I saw some rumors that it might be at historic Dodger Town since that's vacant now and they do like youth shit there or whatever. No, let me promise you this, folks. Okay, I've been to historic Dodger Town with my kid. That place ain't ready to host a major league spring training. I'm sorry. No disrespect to Histogic Dorotown. Well, my point is this, Benji. It's not that easy because let me tell you something. You've been there, Benji. What happens every year in spring training? There's a couple of guys that get hurt. Are you really going to go out there and do that? Because if you get hurt in a spring training without a contract, I can promise you you're not going to get a contract. You're not getting one.
Yeah, but if you don't get out there and be seen, you might not even get a contract either. So it's a 50-50 chance. I mean, I got to go. I was thinking about going and have a spring training somewhere. You know what I mean? Like when I was
me too.
I said, you know what? Yeah, seriously, I wish they would have done that for me if I wouldn't sign, right?
Yeah.
So if I wouldn't sign, I wish they had the training facility. I mean, like you say, there's more than 100 or 100 players out there unsigned. That where are they going to practice? At their house in their batting cage? No, it's good for them to find a place for these guys. I mean, they don't have to play games. They're not going to play games. That's not what they're saying. They're saying to keep practicing, to keep showing the scouts out there, getting ground balls if you're an infield, getting fly balls, showing off your arm, doing infield, throwing bullpens, showing off for the scouts that are out there and you're not signed. I want to show that I can still do it. Look at guys, this is what you're going to get. The only guys that are happy right now are the owners. The owners are very, very, and might not be all of them because some teams are settled, but most of the owners are very happy because they can get a Lance Lynn for 1 year deal and $5, $8, $10 million instead of a 3 year deal, 4 year deal for him. Now you have him for a year. For $8 million, let's say, or 10 or whatever it is, but you don't have to have him as a three-year deal because you have guys pushing him in the back. So this is what the owners dream about. That's what they're saying collusion is because the owners are, they think they're waiting for, they're making these kids wait so they can get him at a lower price in lower years. That's what I think, that's what they mean.
And I do too. I guess what I was going with that was this. To your point, I'm going to say this. Nobody needs to come watch Jake Arrieta or Yu Darvish and see how they look. That has nothing to do with this. That isn't like, hey, go down and check on Yu and see how he looks. This is more for them to work out. I mean, I understand that they need somewhere to work out.
Not me.
right.
But maybe so, the main one.
Right. So but on the other flip side of that, I mean, again, this screams of something's going to happen. Some pitcher, they're going to be doing PFPs to stay in shape and to get their work in, and some pitcher's going to tear an Achilles, going to tear up a knee coming off the mound. Somebody's going
to... If it happens, man. Seriously,
well, no, I understand that. That's where I was going a different way with it. My way I was going with it was, I understand that. I get it. I understand that. My point was, because that's in the back of your mind, that is a very realistic thing, even though it only happens to a couple, are you in the back of your mind going, hell with this, man, get me a contract, get me a 1 year,
right.
Get me a bunch of money for 1 year, I'll go prove myself and I'll get a contract.
Well, here's what it screams of to me, is it screams of fantasy football draft night. And you're sitting there, and then you're sitting there, and the first kicker comes off the board. then there's like five kickers in a row.
Yeah.
The first defense comes off the board, and then there's a rush for defense. So I'm waiting on that. I'm waiting for the first two guys to go, and it might be Arrieta, it might be Darvish, and then all of a sudden I think there's going to be a run on the signing of the free agents.
Well, everybody starts talking about that. Who are these guys that are going to set the market? I mean, there's only a couple of teams in on J.D. Martinez. Why are we waiting on J.D. Martinez? I don't understand. It's been the Boston Red Sox the whole time, and now he's talking about maybe going back to the Diamondbacks because he's pissed off. We're talking about two teams. Who are the teams that realistically want some of these guys that everybody's waiting on it? I don't think it has anything to do with it. I also don't believe for 1 minute the players are going to be able to prove collusion. There are tons of contracts available to these guys, and the one thing that you had about collusion before was that these guys didn't change teams because it came across as don't anybody sign them. That way we get them back at a bargain rate. There's guys changing teams. There's going to be all kinds of guys changing teams. And for that matter, if you believe the rumors to be true, and you never can be sure, they don't just come from the teams. That's why Boris's thing was bullshit. You guys leak this stuff as much as anybody. Okay, I'm not saying either side's right on this because Boris is just as screwed.
Jimbo, can I say something?
Well, hang on. Let me finish, and then you can because here's where I'm going with this. They've got tons of contract offers out to these guys, and they're just not signing them because they want what they want. So that's not collusion. Go ahead, Benji.
Yeah, that's exactly the words that I was going to use, what you just ended up with. I mean, exactly those. It's not collusion. What the MLB Players Association is calling collusion is on the guys that haven't even got a offer, the guys that are not Arrieta. I bet you, like I said before, I bet you Arrieta has a 2-year deal, 3-year deal, maybe a 4-year deal, but they're looking for a 6-year deal, 7-year deal guys. And Yu Darvish has said it himself in the media. He said that he had a couple teams offer him contract. That's not what the MLB Player Association is calling collusion to, right? They're addressing collusion to the other guys. Not JD either. JD Martinez has couple offers. Eric Hosmer has a couple offers. The guys who have the offers, that's not what they mean collusion. They mean collusion on the guy on the other, like 90 or the other 80 players that haven't even got a contract to the big leagues when they were okay. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're calling collusion on. These guys that have a two-team offering 7 years and he haven't even decided to go, I don't care how bad the team is. Make up your mind if you want to play for 7 years and you have $100 or maybe $200 million in your bank. Make up your mind. That we cannot call collusion on that, right? So what they mean is like 80 players, 75 players, 70 players that are unsigned that have not even have a contract offer because most of the guys in the big leagues, the owners, they have their young guys. But these guys are veteran players like Chase Utley, like all these players that have been doing it for so long, and they don't even have an offer on the big leagues? Come on, man. But you'd rather have a AAA guy out there, which is nothing wrong with that, but you'd rather have that guy than Chase Utley off the bench? Come on, man. Come on, man. That's what they're calling collusion, you know?
Well, I hear you, and I would say this. This is my answer to that. Number one, there's a real problem here, especially with guys like Arrieta and Darvish, and it's a very simple problem. And anybody that doesn't understand it is not being realistic, and that's this. If you're Jake Arrieta or you, Darvish, and everybody acts like, well, I don't understand why they just don't sign a 2 or 3 year deal and then go out and have good 2 or 3 years and then get another deal. I can tell you why. It's pretty simple. These guys are never going to get any more money or any length of contract than they are right now. They are over that magic number. This is the last big contract they're going to sign. So they're going to try to maximize it the most they can. They're 31 years old. Okay, they're not going to go out. Even if they pitch well for 2 or 3 years, they are not going to come out at 34, 35 years old and somebody give them a bunch of money and a long-term contract. So that is why I understand the holdup with these two guys. They are holding out because they want the most years they can get because they are at that age. Hosmer, to be completely honest with you, I'm sorry, but it screams to me that the guy doesn't want to play for the teams that have offered him the contracts. If he did, he would have signed them. This is stupid.
That's not collusion.
I know. That's my point. Now, let's get to the point that you brought up about collusion. Here's the issue with that. I don't think it is collusion. Everybody wants to talk about numbers, right? That's all anybody wants to talk about anymore. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Most of the guys I see that you're talking about, why would I want to sign him? What do I want Chase Utley for? Why would I want to give Chase Utley a bunch of money? Why would I do that?
No. I'm not talking about the contracts. I mean, I don't want Chase Utley to get a 3-year deal. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. What MLB Players Association is relating the whole talk is that those players haven't even got a contract offer. That's what they're saying.
I know that, and that's my point.
I know Chase Utley is not a 3-year deal. I know that. Or whoever is out there, they might not be worth 3-year deals, of course. But at least a 1-year deal to the spring training invite or something like that. But they don't even get that. That's what they're trying to point because they're veterans, because they're going to make maybe they're going to make $2.5 million, maybe $3 million. But no, they don't want that guy. They want the young guy, even if he's not even half good as the veteran player. But they save the money. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
but going back to Arrieta and Darvish, Jimbo and Steve-O, go back. Those guys, the reason they won 7 years or they're holding out for 7 years or 6 years, I could tell you maybe one of the reasons. One of the reasons is because they were underpaid for 6 years, man. 6 years, the owners took it to their butt. 6 years, I bet you anything, they were underpaid. Most of these guys, not all of them, but most of these guys have been playing like what we're saying in the last show. Here it comes, Altuve, underpaid for 6 years, and the team save up all that money from Altuve, and they could made a lot of moves because Altuve is way underpaid. But here comes Altuve's free agency, and they're not going to sign him because he costs too much. There you go. That's what we're saying.
Right, and again, I'm looking at the list of free agents that are still available. Number one, if you're a team. I don't know why anybody would want some of these guys, and I'm not being mean about this, but why would you spend millions of dollars on some of these guys when you can just bring up a young guy? We have these stats now that say WAR. If you're the Pittsburgh Pirates or you're the Miami Marlins, or I mean, we can go on and on, right, with some of these teams, why in the world would you want to sign some of these guys over just letting your young guys play or the guys you already have under contract? It makes no sense. I understand it. That's what's happened.
Not all of them. Some of them.
Well, it's quite a few, to be completely honest with you. There's a lot of. I'm looking at the top 50 free. I'm looking at the top 50 that were available this year, and in the top 50, there's guys. I'll start at the bottom. You know, why would you want to give a bunch of money to Jason Vargas or Chris Tillman or Jared Dyson? I mean, John Jay, Lucas Duda. Tony, haven't we seen Jaime Garcia, Andrew Cashner?
On my fantasy baseball team, bud.
Neil Walker. Haven't we been down this road with these guys before?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, how many times?
But are you gonna tell me right now that you cannot offer him a contract?
But what do you want? But my point is, what do you want with Carlos Gomez? Why would you want Carlos Gomez on your team? They've got him ranked going into this offseason.
A fourth outfielder that can run steal bases. Maybe power or something. Maybe he haven't had his best years back yet, but you're not paying $70 million for him.
But he's 32
you know
years
old.
I understand
You can get a fourth outfielder, a veteran player who's done it, or something like that. Maybe a pinch hit in the National League or something. I don't know. But those guys are proven. And you're not going to pay $70 million for them. That's not what we're saying here. I know that they're not going to pay $7 million or anything, you know?
Well, I understand, but what do you think a 32-year-old Carlos Gomez is looking for as a fourth outfielder? Most teams are going to go, nah, we'll go ahead and go with this young guy. I mean, honestly, I'm just being realistic about it. I mean, there are names on here, but, you know, I don't know. And, I mean, and that's the top 50. Those are guys in the top 50. I mean, are you telling me, I'm just being honest with you, who the hell wants Jaime Garcia? Really? I mean, how many times are you going to catch this? We've caught his act, okay? I'm sorry. I'm just being realistic. We've caught his act. We know what he is. If he's not hurt, he's what is he, a number five starter on a bad team? Well, who the hell wants to pay for that? That's my point.
But you're confusing getting a contract invite or something to getting paid. I mean, we're not. I mean, obviously, those guys are not going to get paid. But at least they deserve an invite somewhere, other than not getting an invite, than not saying anything. That's what they're saying as the MLB. They're not looking for Jaime Garcia to make a 4-year deal, even a 2-year deal or whatever. They're not looking for that, but he deserves to be offered something somewhere. That's what they're trying to say. You know, that's all. They're not trying to make it like a money deal. No, they're making it. Oh man, come on! At least an invite somewhere. You know, AAA team in my organization maybe can help out there. Maybe an invite to spring, but maybe he doesn't make a club and he can pitch in AAA or something.
I can promise you this right now. I would rather watch our worst minor league starter down in our ranks pitch than Jaime Garcia.
Jaime Garcia.
Hold on.
Jaime Garcia was the chips and salsa that somebody brought to the Super Bowl party. Yeah, they might nibble on it a little bit, but nobody's really eating it. Right?
I want something else.
No, but I'm not regarding Jaime, you know, because we all know what we got and stuff. I'm not saying necessarily Jaime. I'm going like overall, you know, most of those guys, that's what they're looking for. That's what the MLB is looking for. Man, at least invite him somewhere or for a big league job or something, but not a money wise, but I know what Jaime is, you know. I mean, I know that. But that I wasn't directing everything just at Jaime.
I was only using Jaime as an example because we're familiar with him here in St. Louis. And like I said, I mean, year after year we caught his act, and then he'd tease you by being good for a little bit. I guess what I'm saying here is pretty basic, and that's this. If I'm a Major League Baseball team right now, and the reality of it is the way the thing is set up, whether you like it or not, is half these teams have no chance, okay? And if I'm a team that has no chance, why would I block my young players by giving deals and spending money on guys that, according to the numbers, and let's be honest, aren't hardly any better than what I already have? And that's kind of what I'm saying. That's all. I mean,
I understand, but there's guys like Logan Morrison. He could help somebody, you know, out there. He haven't signed yet, I don't think. Mike Miners, I mean, those are guys that can help teams out there. Who knows? I mean, that's what they're relating to. Jonathan Lucroy haven't signed with anybody, and he's a catcher that he's been proven hitting 300 every year. You know, he was fighting with Yadi for All-Stars and stuff, and he had a so-so year. He's been traded. But you're going to tell me nobody needs that guy, and you're going to get a young guy over these guys? Come on, man.
Well, my guess would be, again, this is a guess, but my guess would be Jonathan Lucroy would probably like to start. And if I'm a major league owner, I got some real questions about Jonathan Lucroy, because when he got traded to Texas, this guy went and played in two BAM boxes the last 2 years and hasn't been very good. So I'm looking at it going, what happened here? Because we were hitting all kinds of bombs, and you know, we were a pretty good hitter. Now, again, if Jonathan LaCroix was your backup catcher, I would say that'd be fine. My guess is he doesn't want to be a backup catcher.
Well, those are the things that we're talking that the MLB are trying to say out there. They're not saying the ones that you mentioned, like Jaime or whatever you want to mention out of that list. But they're saying for the ones that they believe they deserve a chance, they believe they did okay to deserve a chance out there, and they're not getting even a call. They're not even getting a team out there. That's what the MLB is trying to say. Man, what are these guys doing?
You know, of the top 50, there's been more than half of them have been signed, and they've switched teams. I mean, they will never be able to prove collusion this year. It'll never happen. But again, I don't know that I fault the owners in some cases, but I will say this. From a realistic standpoint, and I'm not blaming agents, I'm not blaming players. I have never once in my life ever said that owners shouldn't pay these players. But there's a fundamental flaw somewhere along the line of thinking that an owner that makes $1 billion should keep his money and not give it to a player. I've never understood that. Like, people defend the owners for not spending money sometimes. That's a waste of money. Don't do it. Don't do it. My problem with the Cardinals has always been, when is next year going to come? Because they always talk about not spending this money because next year's coming. So, and that's really the only place I'm at in the whole thing. So, hey, this was good, man. I enjoyed this today. This was a lot of fun. So, you know, we had a lot of fun with the show today. We started off with Mo's Algorithm. you know, what I'm excited about is starting next week, things are going to be happening down at spring training. So we're actually going to have some things to talk about. We hope they're good. I wonder when we'll get the first report. We need to take a poll here in the office. Who will be the first person to tweet out? We can make a poll. Who will be the first one to tweet out, and when will it happen? Adam Wainwright looks great. It's coming. You know it's coming. That's what's great about spring training when pitchers and catchers report. I can't wait. And again, I'm going to be real curious next week as the juices get flowing to hear it in your voice, Benji, because I know that's a special time for you. I'll bet right now, you've been out of the game for a few years, I'll bet right now you're ready to strap on the gear and head down there and start catching some bullpens.
Oh, heck yeah, man. I can't wait for this time of the year. When I was training, I was tired of training so hard. I would train two times a day, so I was tired of that. I wanted to see the boys. I wanted to see what the heck we have new in our team. I'll tell you, Jimbo and Steve-O, we got to be excited, man, really. We got to get excited for this Cardinal team. I think we can fight against those big dogs out there. I think we can do it, man. I really do. I hope they add a bullpen guy, but it doesn't look like it. I hope they add it a starting rotation guy, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited for the good arms out there in the bullpen and see what we can do, man. I can wait.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm just excited for baseball. I mean, again, I'm not thrilled with the offseason. I said I would judge them when the offseason was over. So I will do that, and I'll give my thoughts on it, which I think my thoughts are pretty well known. But we will talk about that as spring training ends. I've still got this part of me that still feels like Greg Holland's going to fall in our lap, and I might be completely nuts, but we shall see. I can promise you this. Here's what I will tell you. If Greg Holland took a one-year deal and came to a city like St. Louis and was successful in the closer's role, or even Washington for that matter, if Greg Holland showed up in one of those two cities and solidified their bullpen, he would get his money eventually. So that's why I'm hopeful, and I think something crazy is going to happen. Again, that's just me being the fan. But I want to thank all of our fans for listening to us today. Don't forget us. Hit us up on our social media sites. At Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter is where you'll find us. The big ask from us always is Facebook. We need more Facebook followers. Find us, Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page, click invite your friends, bring them on over. We're happy to have them be a part of it. Find us on Instagram as well by simply typing in Two Birds on a Bat Show. You know, twobirdsonabat.com is our website. You can listen to the show through there. Subscribe. It's completely free. You know, again, shop with Amazon if you do that sort of thing. We'd greatly appreciate that as well. We get a very small referral. Doesn't cost you anything extra. Happy to have our social media partners a part of the show. They've done so much for the growth. Happy to be a part of the Raleigh Squirrel Club and our friend Nate McHenry with his RaleighSquirrel.com Facebook page. To learn more about joining the Raleigh Squirrel Club, just simply go to RaleighSquirrel.com, and for less than the price of a cup of coffee, you too can be a member of the Raleigh Squirrel Club. Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7, our friend and yours, Chris Lawless, does such a great job sharing content and getting people involved. He's got to be excited for the start of spring training, I know. Arch City Sports, our friend and yours, Mick Light, who's made himself synonymous with sports here in the St. Louis area. Special thanks to him as well. Cardinals Freaks, great Facebook page, been with us for a long time. St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite and our newest Everything STL Sports. For Steve Flowers and Benji Molina on the M4byYachty.com hotline, I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and I leave you with a Let's Go Cards!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.